Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Life is full of traps. Godly discretion helps us to avoid them. Christians enjoy well-guarded lives because God's Word equips us to avoid Satan's snares that he baits with things that appeal to our pride or that tempt us with lustful pleasure. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you will be safe. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 2, verse 9, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
Look at these benefits. Being kept in the paths of judgment, being preserved in our ways, then you shall understand righteousness and judgment, and yea, and equity in every good path. God wants us to have a good life, a life that is based in the scriptural principles. Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father? When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, verse 10. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. So here's the first warning. Son, beware of this type of individual. He says you need discretion. The word discretion means you need to be able to see life from God's perspective. You need godly discernment. It will preserve you. It will guard you. It will keep you. It will deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things. Two enemies are seen besetting the feet of the young man. In verses 12 through 15, it's the evil man. And in verses 16 through 19, it's the strange woman. There is nothing new under the sun. Those people are living on planet Earth today. They may dress differently, but it's the same old battle, isn't it? There's nothing new under the sun. The only effectual safeguard from the ways of sin and ruin is what? Listening to God and applying God's word to your heart. And Solomon tells his son and his daughter that the wisdom of God will save you from the ways of the evil men, from those who speak perverse things. What's perverse? Anything that is opposite to the truth of God. That's perverted or twisted. Froward things carry the idea of individuals who speak in a twisted language. Psalm 12 talks about people who talk with a double heart. They'll say one thing to you, and then something is to someone else. That's a double heart. That's a double tongue. There's a lot of double hearts and double tongues. I wish I could say that they were all outside of the church, but a lot of them are inside the church. But it also speaks of manipulation. And notice these individuals that he warns his son, daughter, and all of the above that I've mentioned. They rejoice to do evil. They delight in sinful things. They're always looking for ways to satisfy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What was one of the first things that Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he preached the gospel? He says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's the same devil who is the god of this world today. That is the same devil that is the author and finisher of all antichrist, unbiblical propaganda, whatever way, shape, or form it is. And that's the one who is perverting and destroying the minds of billions of people. Satan's agenda for each and every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is to get you and I not to think the way God wants us to think, but to think the way they want us to think. Jesus told Peter that Satan desired to sift him like wheat. You know, when you come to Christ, you become a target, don't you? You become a target because now you're a traitor to the world system. And the enemy is out to destroy you and me. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? We need to resist him steadfast in the faith. How? By knowing the word of God. There was a man in ministry with Paul. His name was Demas. And he forsook his calling because he loved this present world. You know, when you read verses 12 through 15, it says, who leave the paths of unrighteousness, which implies what? At one time, they may have been on the paths of righteousness. That describes exactly what Peter writes about in 2 Peter 2, 21 and 22. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. When someone tells you, I used to be a Christian, you know what that means? They never were one. They embraced, perhaps, Christianity for a while, but they never were one. God doesn't call his people dogs. We're sheep. And you can be a prodigal and go astray for a while, but you're going to come back home to Papa. It's interesting to me, saints, we're called to be the salt and light of the world. And I fear that many times we are running away from our mission field instead of running towards them. Remember the caution that Paul gave to the church of Corinth about compromise? He said in 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 13, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, for such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do with them also that are without? Do you not judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Wicked. Righteous people can do wicked things? Yeah. This guy in Proverbs, this individual in Proverbs, this group of people in Proverbs have left the way of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. It's a warning, isn't it? That's one of the things that you and I need to be telling our children, our grandchildren. Usually you get it better the second time than the first time around because you've got a lot more wisdom than you had earlier. But there is that. This is our responsibility, and we need to be able to point out these kinds of individuals. And so there's the evil man, the froward man. The old King James, it kind of like bites you, you know? I like that. Froward. That sounds nasty. It's not just bad. Froward. Ugh. It's like when the Bible talks in the New Testament about superfluity of naughtiness. I mean, that is nasty on steroids. Beware of those who are given to superfluity of naughtiness. We're hearing a lot about fluidity, aren't we, these days? Gender fluidity. That's superfluity of naughtiness. That's what that is. That's not hate. That's not hate. That's echoing what the Bible says. Well, and then verses 16 through 19. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Now, notice in both of these warnings, Solomon is warning his children about those who at once maybe, let's just say, went to church, were in youth group. You know, but then they said, well, I don't want that anymore. That's just for. You get the idea here? which forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. The strange woman, the loose woman, the adulteress that flatters smooth talk with her words. We're going to visit this gal again in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 22, chapter 23. Proverbs 5:3 says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." Flattery. Beware of flattery. It's the false praises given in order to gain some favor or influence someone in order to accomplish some purpose. The Bible says flattery is dangerous. A flatterer will tell you what you want to hear in order to get from you what they want. A flatterer doesn't love you. Flattery is a form of manipulation. Warren Wiersbe said, "It's people telling us things about ourselves that we enjoy hearing and we wish they were true." The strange woman knows how to use flattery successfully. Another commentator said, "Two of the most difficult sins for men and women to resist are pride and sexual immorality. Both are seductive. Pride says, I deserve it. Sexual desire says, I need it. In combination, their appeal is deadly." Now you tell me, do we have to deal with this stuff today? Some of the things in Proverbs, you know, they'll almost make you blush. Go, oh, are we going to talk about that in church? Well, we better. We better talk about this with our kids, with our grandkids. You know what? Because if you don't tell them the truth about these things, someone's going to tell them a lie. And don't think, well, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to be their pal. You're not their pal. You're their dad. You're their mom. We need to tell them the truth because they deal with these things. How many of us have had to deal with the strange woman? And then this just happens. I mean, before you're saved, and then you get saved and you go, wow. That was one of the things that struck me after I got saved, just reading the Gospel of John and the book of Proverbs. And I thought of it, even though my parents weren't Christians, and I thought, how come my mom and dad didn't tell me that? Why didn't they tell me that? Well, why aren't we telling our children that? Why aren't we telling our grandchildren that? Notice this woman, though, verse 17. She forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Wait a minute. A marriage covenant? Notice that this woman has a form of godliness, but she's seductive. She has no respect for God because she breaks his law. She has no respect for her husband because she violates the promises she made to him when she married him. This strange woman with the flattering lips is going to be revisited again in chapter 7, and there's something interesting there. After a woman's menstruation, she was to bring the peace offering to become ceremonially clean for sexual relationships. Here, this woman is showing a strange paradox of obedience to the law and yet disobedience to God. Sexual immorality in every way, shape, or form is a problem even within the visible church. Because because people don't have any fear of God anymore. They want to do whatever they want to do, no matter who rebukes them. Her house inclines into death. Her paths go unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That commercial that says what's done in Vegas stays in Vegas is a blatant lie. What's done in Vegas is seen in the eyes of God. And there is always room to repent. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for that? There's always room to repent, the opportunity to repent and to get clean and to be delivered. Thank God for that. We're all thankful for that, aren't we? But the irreversible nature of unrepentant immorality, and it's out there in the world in its most blatant form. It's in our face every day and every night. And it's not right. It's not right. It's unbiblical. It's ungodly. It's unholy. That's not the way God created us to interact. And it grieves your heart. But there's this irreversible consequence. You read Romans chapter 1. We're living in it as a nation. When the people change the truth of God into a lie, it inevitably becomes idolatry, and there's always sexual immorality and idolatry. They go hand in hand. And God help us. When the church begins to let the world tell us what is right, what is wrong. We have one book, guys. We need to hold fast to the truth of God's word. We're not doing anybody any good if we hold back the truth of God from them. It's like seeing someone in a house that is burning down, and you're the fire department, and you won't turn on the hose. In Proverbs 5, we read about the man who lost everything. And here was his testimony, verses 12 and 13. How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. If he only listened to the word of God. You see, sexual immorality and impurity in all of its forms has a deadly influence upon both the body and soul. And the will of God is that you and I be sanctified, that we should abstain. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So he gives them the warning, and then he says, these are the kind of people that you need around you, that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. How important it is for every believer, male or female, old or young, to have consistent, strong Christian fellowship and people with whom they can pray and be accountable to. How important it is. I need it. We all need it. And yet, there's a whole generation of the church that is believing a lie, that as long as I just watch online or listen to a podcast, you know, when someone doesn't want to be in the light, it's usually because there's some darkness inside of them. We need good fellowship, don't we? You need, and I need, saints who will speak the truth of God into your life and encourage you to walk in the narrow path that leads into life. You know, it's amazing. Nobody ever hesitates to tell Pastor Ben or I anything. And yet, why won't they tell that to someone else? Iron sharpeneth iron. I'm not advocating that we be a congregation of sin sniffers or spiritual police dogs. But brothers and sisters, we want God to move, don't we? We want God to just transform us as a church family into the body of Christ. And it's a process. But the ability to fellowship with one another, exhort one another, pray for one another, admonish one another, warn one another. Paul heard about it in Corinth. He goes, I hear that there's some things going on there. And he addressed it. You know why he did? Because they weren't. Same thing in the seven letters. Jesus is addressing things that were going on because they weren't. That's part of all of our responsibilities. That's not me and Pastor Ben or the pastors or the elders or the deacons. No. This is a family thing. You know, I really feel bad for people who've never gotten out of COVID. Oh, they have when it comes to going to school, going to work, going to a play, going to a concert, going to a sporting event, going to a grocery store, but I can't come to church. Where did that lie come from? If you don't come and you are capable of coming, it's because you do not want to come. That's it. Plain and simple. That's it. Your feet will take you wherever your heart wants to go. You'll find a way to get there, won't you? If I want a hot fudge Sunday tonight after church, I'm going to find a way. If I've got a drive to Reading, Pennsylvania, I'll get one. All right. Now, I won't have to go that far, but yeah. Well, you get it. Hey, saints, listen, seriously. I mean, this is practical, down-to-earth facts of life. This is what we're talking about. Right? That's why I love the Proverbs. It's like a cold fire hose right in your face. Whoa! Reminding you and I how much we need to be seeking the Lord, how we need to be praying with and for one another, holding one another accountable. Wow. And then there's the warning, verses 21 and 22. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. That's the promise. Now he's talking about the earthly land, the earthly picture of heaven. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. I don't want to be rooted out. I want to be rooted in the Lord. Don't you? Abraham's descendants had been promised the land of Canaan, but in Deuteronomy 28, verse 63, God warned that if the people refuse to obey him, they will be uprooted from the land. And how we need to be praying, saints. We need to be praying that God would allow our time as we go through the Proverbs and tell other people in the church. Because Pastor Ben and I talk with people and they go, well, I don't know what to talk to my kids about. Well, come. If you're not going to open your Bible yourself, come on some Wednesday. Well, God will tell us what to talk about. God will tell us who to avoid, where to go, where not to go. He's got it right here. Praise God. Amen. This is a joint counseling session and didn't cost you a red cent. We could have said, come into our room. There's a couch there. 100. The clock is ticking. And you walk out more confused than when you walked in. This is free. But it's only because Christ paid the price. We want to be rooted in the Lord, not rooted out. Let me ask you tonight, did God speak to your heart? We're living in a world that would laugh at or mock what you and I just covered tonight. You realize that? That would call us idiots. That would call us hate mongers. But Jesus told us. He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. We need godly courage and boldness to speak the truth in love, right? Into the hearts of our children, our grandchildren, with the love of Christ, preferably with tears rolling down our face. I want to see this next generation. I want to see this next generation. If there is in the plan and purpose of God another 32 AD Jesus revolution, I want to be a part of it. But they're not going to come if we're just like everyone else. We're called to be different. We're called to be holy, not holier than thou. So we have a task, don't we? We have an assignment. And we need to be praying for one another. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.